We're going to be looking at James chapter 1 tonight. Hopefully you have your handouts. I'm going to try to move right along, as I said before, and I'll say this now. I'll try to remember. I realize that some folks have to get up early on Mondays, so do not feel like if the prayer time tarries a little longer and you are finished praying and you need to slip out to get home to get ready because you got to get up early for work. I understand that perfectly. I will not be offended, nor will I rebuke you in any way. But if that happens to be the case and over the next couple of weeks, please help yourself. I want to read just a couple of quotes before we get started tonight in the book of James. Pay attention once in a while. I know we fellowship. I don't know. Just be honest with me. I'm not going to be upset. Just be honest with me. How many try, make an honest attempt between service, before church, to read some of the stuff that scrolls on the screens in here or in the hallway? All right. You'll be noticing more and more clips about revival in the coming days and weeks. Right, Brother Sam? There were some on this morning. I'm going to read one this morning, and then we'll go on with our Bible study. I'm going to read two this morning. And this you know, got stepped on my toes, and hopefully it steps on many other preachers' toes. Preachers who should be fishing for men are now too often fishing for compliments from men. Preachers used to sow seed. Now they string intellectual pearls. Here's another one more toward us as a congregation. That was for me, the other one. No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing, and the people who are not praying are straying. That was on the roll today that I noticed as well. Prayer is so important. We should look at it as if it's just as important as our daily meal. They used to always say that the most important meal of the day is breakfast. And I believe the most important start of the day is prayer. James chapter 1. I'm going to read that in just a moment. James deals with the believer's relationship to the Word of God. And we live in a world that is biblically illiterate today. I do not know how many folks that I've talked to, surprising the world that we live in today, but I still meet people on occasion that has never open the Bible. I have met people on occasion that's never set foot in church, and the closest thing they've been to church is to a funeral home. They're still out there. We're an illiterate country, biblically speaking. While we might expect such ignorance from the world, we must not expect or accept it from God's people. It's important that we know the Word of God. And dear friends, if we can sit down and discuss topics like politics and other things better than we can Scripture, maybe we need to read the Bible more and read the news or watch the news less or have a balance. Amen? We are a people of the Bible. We must learn the Bible. I believe this is part of your introduction there in your handout. We must learn the Bible. We must love the Bible and live the Bible. If we are not learning the Bible, loving the Bible, and living the Bible, I believe that's going to impact or hinder our Christian growth. No other book will do for us what the Bible can do and will do if we allow it. If we allow it. My problem with weight loss, several. One is I like food. And Michelle likes to cook. It does no good for me to walk in the pantry and see all the health food and healthy choices that I have to snack on and turn around and walk out and look for junk food. That does me no good. And as believers, it's the same way. How often do we partake in junk? Come on. As opposed to getting in and opening our Bible and reading the Word of God. How much time do we waste in time of meditation, talking to the Lord, reading the Word of God, and as we talked about this morning, in fellowship with other believers. Let's look at our text, James chapter 1 and verse number 18. Of his own will begat he us with a word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Ladies, this is generic neutral. This is men and women, not just men, though us men need to be better at hearing our ladies. Beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not in the righteousness of God. Father, bless the reading of your word and our time together tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Endurance is one of the key traits of the victorious Christian life, but it is one that is most Christians lack. I'm not talking about the endurance of going out for a walk, because I'm noticing right away under this heat, that first mile is a little harder than it was a month and a half ago. And that endurance winds down on that heat. And dear friends, the heat of the world, the heat of sin, the pressure around us will eat up our endurance in daily life if we don't recharge, have the fellowship, and getting in the Word. Again, endurance is one of the key traits of the victorious Christian life. And we need to make sure that we are not lacking in that area. How many times have we seen Christians serve the Lord, get excited for Christ, and are faithful to the Lord only to fizzle out in a short period of time? Hot, on fire for a moment, and then fizzle out over the next few days. Most Christians would rather play than pray. They would rather serve themselves instead of serving Christ. Dear friends, there should be a balance. I'm the first one. I enjoy playing. I enjoy ball games. I enjoy cards. I enjoy board games. But where is our balance in the area of making sure that we also have an urgency and care? Let me give you a little plug here and I'll move on. This is absolutely free. It's not even in my notes. One day we might need somebody to take care of us. It might not be our kids. It might not be our spouse. It might be the kid down at the Walmart, at the grocery store, the neighbor across the street, or the kids running around causing havoc. They may be the ones attending us in a nursing home or in a hospital. Why not go ahead and tell them about Jesus now? They might remember us when they're serving us later. Paul challenged us to all endure as Christians and not be a bunch of spineless, sifty, sissy, soft saints. I know it takes boldness, and I know this may or may not be hard to believe, but there once upon a time in my life, I was terrified for public speaking. I was terrified to talk to other people about the Lord. In fact, I was terrified to talk to other people that I didn't even know. But somewhere along the way, the Lord just gave me the gift of gab, and I wasn't afraid anymore. But it's a matter of time. The Lord will open the door and give us opportunities if we seek them. Let's look at a couple passages of scriptures before we get to our one point. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4, 5. But watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear friends, we may feel like, will the Lord ever do anything through me or for me? Just keep laboring. He is at work. Notice the pattern there of that passage of scripture. Of Jesus Christ, of the Lord, in the Lord. See, it's not easy serving and representing the Lord, and it won't get much easier, but it is doable in Him. Number one tonight, our only point, verse 19 of our text, swift to hear, swift to hear. I've learned things through the years, it's hard to hear when you're always doing all the talking. It's good to pray, but guess what? Sometimes we need to quit talking, praying, and start reading the Word as well. We pray, we talk to God, we read our Bible, God talks to us. And sometimes it's good, sometimes even to listen to others, whether it be a family member, whether it be a neighbor, whatever the case may be, we need to be swift to hear. Notice the word there in this passage, wherefore. It joins verse number 19 with the previous verses. And because we are saved, we are to be swift to hear. This is written to believers. We are to be a teachable people, willing and ready to learn and also willing to mentor, help, and to teach others. Being teachable begins with listening, and God puts a premium on listening to Him. If we want to see revival, we want to learn and glean from the Scripture, we need to make sure we come to church prepared to listen and to learn. We need to be swift to hear. Can we block out all the distractions around us, all the peripheral things, and say, Lord, help me to be here during this time, during this Sunday school lesson, during this preaching hour, during this time of Bible study, no distractions. Folks, I'll readily admit tonight, I'm one of the worst. I have a hard time. I've got whatever is beyond super duper attention deficit disorder, I'm in the top five. I mean, I have to make sure devices are turned off. I have to make sure sometimes when the grandkids are there, I put on that noise-canceling headphones. I turn off the Bluetooth devices anywhere around me at all. I don't want any distractions because I easily end up going somewhere else. And sometimes we have to just concentrate on purpose. Lord, help me to be swift to hear. See, listening begins by keeping quiet and holding our tongue. Keeping quiet and holding our tongue. The phrase, let him hear, shows up 18 times in the Bible. Some of the form of the word hear is used 1,285 different times throughout the Word of God. It must be important that we listen, that we hear, that we're quick or swift to hear. Or are we more concerned about being the one speaking, talking, or being part of the conversation or leading the conversation? Again, listening begins by being quiet and holding your tongue. 18 times it speaks of this, as I mentioned, here in this phrase, let him hear, but 1,285 times in the Bible. I, as your pastor, also like to read, but also like to listen to other sermons and other preachers. And sometimes I read them, sometimes I listen to them, because I need to listen as well. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Proverbs 17, verse 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. I read that verse again today in review this afternoon, sitting in my office. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. What do you call the guy who won't do that? Even a fool knows that. The Bible is very clear. Sometimes we just need to listen, especially when it comes to the preaching, the teaching, and Bible study. Lord, give me what I need to hear. Proverbs 21:23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proverbs 13:13. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. The Bible tells us that God pleaded with Israel to listen to him, but they would not listen, and they got themselves in major trouble. And we'll look at that in just a moment. I know from experience, I don't know Brother Stevenson that's coming to be preaching for us really well, but I know who he sat under and was tutored under after he graduated Bible college, Brother Harper, who's a dear friend, and maybe one day we'll be able to get him out here as well on one of his visits to this area. He comes to Arizona, I believe, every other year. But I said all that to say this, if he's anything like Brother Harper, I know this, he has already begun and prays regularly for the churches he'll be preaching in, the pastor and his wife, the church family, and asking and pleads with the Lord, Lord, I want to give them what you want, not what I think they need. In fact, me and Brother Harper, he's asking me, you know, I don't want you to tell me anything about your church people. I just want to come and fellowship with you, enjoy the time as I got to first know him several years ago. He said, because I want to pray and prepare, and no one in the auditorium be able to tell me, well, what did the preacher tell you? Why did you preach on that? How did you know? Tell you what, I've had people come to me several times, preacher, how did you know? I tell you how I knew. The Holy Spirit, just preaching, preparation, studying. And I know that Brother Stevenson has already begun to pray for the churches he will be speaking in over the next few weeks as he finishes up camp and returns back on the East Coast somewhere. I'm not sure where he's from. I can't remember. I think North Carolina. But needless to say, he's praying. He's practicing being swift to hear, Lord, help me in my preparation. Help me in my presentation to give the people of Harvest Baptist Church how I can challenge them, encourage them, and be a help to Pastor and Mrs. Pastor and their people that they may be more effective in the ministry. Why? Because he wants to be swift to hear the Spirit of God. Notice Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 19. Again, as the Lord has pled with Israel to listen to him. Because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 13, back a few chapters in verse number 11. For as the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord, that they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise, for a glory, but they would not hear. Boy, even in that time, could you imagine those who did not hear the Lord? And we're living in the same day today. We have so many distractions and the things that we watch, that we listen to, than what we hear. Are we able to tune in and say, Lord, speak to me? I know we have the ability. I know. And I'm going to prove it in just a moment. Ladies, now it's time for me and you to have a little fun with your husbands. Ladies, would you be honest with me and tell me good, well, you know for sure there's been times that your husband was not listening to you one single bit, but he said, uh-huh. Go ahead, raise your hand, Michelle. Yeah. Why? They were tuning the ladies out because they were too in tune to something else. The ball game, the news, whatever else was going on. Gentlemen, if we can do that with a ball game or with news or with something else, could we not do the same thing in focusing on the Lord, on our Bible study, in the preaching, in the music, a church service? If we can block out our spouse, and if our teenagers can block out the parents, I'm sure they can also block out other things to be in tune for that moment and for that hour and saying, Lord, what do you have for me? As I mentioned before, I like to eat. When I was a kid growing up, that my daddy tells me when I was younger, I'm glad I got rid of the nickname and don't try to start it again. They used to call me Biscuit because everywhere I went, I had a biscuit in my hand. My mom baked, and I didn't leave the house without grabbing a biscuit. I didn't leave the table without grabbing one more biscuit for the road. And because I enjoy those things. I enjoy Michelle's cooking. I like to go in once in a while and stir the pot. When she's not looking, maybe taste a little bit. I've been known to ask her, well, have you put this in it yet? And I always get the same answer. I always fix it the same way. There's nothing wrong with that. And she might not have gotten to that step. Or maybe I have a different taste in my mouth. I just enjoy food. I'm getting ready. In fact, two of my daughters at least are the same way. When they go to bed at night and they're expecting a certain meal the next morning and the menu has been changed, they're discouraged. They're rattled. My day has been ruined. But you said we were having pancakes and the whole menu has changed. Do we get that excited about the Lord, what the Lord has prepared for us? Do we get a little bit discouraged because maybe we don't have as much time as we wanted and we get frustrated because the menu has changed? We thought we can get into the Word and we get a little bit frustrated because something got in the way and now I have to delay my Bible reading. I have to delay my prayer time and get in later. Does it discourage us? Does it frustrate us to the point because I really desire to have that? I want to taste. Ask Michelle, well, what else are we fixing with that steak and gravy tonight? Are we having rice or mashed potatoes? Are we having green beans? Are we having carrots? I want to know what's going on. Do we get excited enough about the service that we might once in a while ask the preacher, ask the Sunday school teacher, hey, what are you preaching on tomorrow? What are you preaching on next week? Do we have that anticipation? Are we swift to hear? Get excited about what the Lord has for us? Sometimes it's a matter of attitude. It's a matter of willingness. And do we have a hunger, a true hunger, to not only hear the word, but to learn something new? Do you get excited when you read the same passage of scripture for the 50th time and you see something that you've never seen before? Does it excite you? Do you make note of it? Wow, how did I miss this for the last 30 years? I write little notes like that in my journal and my Bible. I get excited when I see something. I want to be swift to hear. Let me share an illustration with you. In his book, Directions, Insights for Christian Living, James Hamilton writes this illustration. Before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve their food. Ice houses had thick walls, no windows, and a tightly fitted door. In winter, the streams and lakes were frozen. Large blocks of ice were cut, hauled to the ice houses, covered with sawdust. Often the ice would last well into the summer. One man lost a valuable watch while working in one of these ice houses. He searched diligently for it, carefully raking through the sawdust, but didn't find it because of the insulated walls and all that was there. Carefully, again, raking through the sawdust, but he couldn't find it. His fellow workers were also looked, but their efforts, too, provided to be futile. A small boy who heard about the fruitless search for the watch slipped into the ice house during the noon hour and soon emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked him how he found it. He said, "I closed the door, lay down in the sawdust, and kept very still. Soon I heard the watch ticking." Have we ever stopped, found a quiet place, lied down, sat down, and just said, "Lord, speak. Lord, I want to hear from you. Lord, I want you to show me something in the scripture. No distractions, no other sound. I just want to hear you." You remember the last time being in a quiet room, which you can actually, which hardly anyone wears them anymore, but you can hear the little tick on your Timex watch because it was so quiet. Dear friends, that's how we need to quiet out the deafening sound around us in order that we might be swift to hear. Often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we are being still enough and quiet enough to hear. May I challenge you tonight in the coming weeks and through the rest until the Lord tarries his returns or returns again to make sure that we set aside some time, some quiet time that we might be swift to hear. A room, a place quiet enough or where we can block out and put all the sound away and distract it that we might hear from God. I know sometimes we think it's overwhelming. We think, how could we ever do that? And then I'm reminded back again to some of my sports days and playing ball in high school and college. I can remember the stadium being so loud. But I can remember learning some methods and talking to some others and be able to step up to bat or step up to the mound in just a few seconds. But now with those with those clocks that you have to start pitching before a certain time, I might not be able to do it. But I remember being able to have a little time of meditation, saying, "Lord, help me for a moment," and just block out, see the fans, see the movement, but not hear a thing, but only see my catcher, only see the pitcher, observe and pick up the ball before it releases the pitcher's hand, and focus on that I may make contact. If we can do that in worldly things, should we not be able to filter those efforts and doing them into spiritual things? Lord, help me to be swift to hear. Dear friends, are you listening to what the Lord is trying to say to you? See, what he's saying to you may be different than what he's saying to me. What he's saying to you may be different than what he's saying to that family in front of you, behind you, or next to you. But dear friends, he is speaking. Are we swift to hear? One more time in our text. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. How well are we listening? What kind of effort are we putting into in preparation? Preacher, how is that helping us in reference to revival? Folks, if we're distracted by all the things of the world around us, how can we be swift to hear when anyone stands to preach? Whether it be the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, or whatever the case may be, is allowing ourselves to be in the position as we pray for revival to be swift to hear. And I don't know about you, not only do I want to see revival, I don't care if it comes before or after the evangelist, I just want to see it. I hope to see it tonight. But whatever the Lord may bring it, I know this, according to his word, we as a people need to be swift to hear. Lord, speak to me. And as we pray and we plead with the Lord, here's what I'm afraid sometimes we do. We plead for the Lord to do something, to show us something. We say amen and go right off to the busy world. I wonder if we scheduled our time in prayer to a point that we had time to pray and then after prayer had a little bit more time just to sit and listen for the tick. To sit and listen for the voice of God. To sit and listen after we prayed. Lord, I prayed, I poured out my heart. Now, Father, as I sit here for a moment, would you speak to me? And after I'm through listening to you, Father, I want to get into your word also and read and ask you to speak to me. We need to slow down, manage our time, be swift to hear, but then make sure we make time to allow the Lord to speak that we might listen. Let's take a moment and pray. Where you sit, somewhere in an auditorium in another room, I'm going to make my way to the back. I'll come back to the podium in 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. I don't know. I'll come back. I'll lift my voice and we'll close in prayer, have a time of fellowship. If you need to leave and nights get longer on Sunday nights as we pray, please, I won't be offended when you're through praying. If you need to slip out, just make sure you carry conversation outside. And a little later, I'll come back and lift my voice in prayer and we'll close out our service. But let's pray for revival and let's make sure that we're swift to hear, and maybe even a little time tonight, later at home, reviewing, looking over the handout, and saying, Lord, speak to me. Show me what I need to hear and receive from you. Brother Ford, if you'll play some music softly, and let's spend a season of prayer as we pray for our church, our community, and revival.